This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 264, brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service and iFanboy listeners like you.
It's coming on Christmas, they're cutting down trees, putting up rain, dancing songs of joy and peace. So wish I had a river I could skate away on, but it don't snow here, it stays pretty
green. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 264. I am Josh Flanagan. I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you. Good day. Goodbye, sir.
Does that mean we have to leave? Because I could go.
You get nothing.
What is that?
It's a Willy Wonka. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Oh, that's a great line. Apparently, they remade that movie.
Yeah, that line wasn't in it, unfortunately. Yeah, so
there's no need for that movie. At ifanboy.com, we like comic books. That's why we started the website, the podcast, all that stuff. We read them. That's the other reason. We don't just like them without reading them. I suppose those people exist. Every week we talk about a bunch of the books that come out. One of us has the job of picking the one they think is the best. We call that the pick of the week. Their review goes up on a website on Wednesday night. And then we talk about it here on the podcast with the other books in the week and stuff we feel like talking about. Before we get going, you should know this. This is important. I want you to pay attention. Spoilers. Yeah, they're real. It's going to happen. So just be aware. We're talking about the books that are coming out. And if you haven't read yours, well, tough titties. Tough titties, I say to you, sir. Good day.
That was also in Willy Wonka.
It was the bootleg cut.
It was the movie that no one wanted.
Really? It really was.
No one was like, you know, I want a modern telling of Willy Wonka.
Well, there was the faithful. It was the faithful adaption of the book.
Right, with the heavy metal Oompa Loompa interludes.
Well, that was a bit less faithful, but... Yeah.
There were some comic books announced that nobody wanted either.
But No one wanted this!
No one wanted this. That's the challenge. Tim Burton thought that. He goes, no one wants this, but I can do this.
Yep.
But he couldn't. Connor, you had the pick of the week this week. You had tough choices. Tough choices.
It was a good week, unlike last week.
Yes, it was a light week, but a solid week.
Real good week, so I had a really tough time. It was one of those things when I finished my stack... Nothing jumped out right away. I was like, oh, fuck. Because, you guys will know. This is the problems only three of us have in the whole world. But
that's true.
If you finish your stack and nothing jumps out at you, then it becomes much harder.
Yep.
So
if a bunch of stuff's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff. But
you could make a case for several. Yeah.
Yes, so, I could have written a review for three of these books.
Yeah.
So I sort of flipped a mental coin, ended up with Justice League Generation Lost number 15. By Judd Winnick and Joe Bennett, I believe, is the artist this week.
Pissed Bendis off in the process.
Sorry.
You don't know how to pick books for shit.
I really love the progression of this book. Ron, you're still reading this, right?
Oh, yeah. This is. I mean, you summed it up best, that this is the best Justice League book in print right now.
Yes. Yeah. I like how it's getting better.
Drove James Robinson off Twitter, apparently.
I know. Well, I don't think it was the Justice League that did that.
It was Connor.
It was me again. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I love the progression that it gets. The story is getting better. It's getting more complex. There's a lot. Everyone's got their own little plot line going, except really for Booster, but maybe that'll come later. But they're all interesting. I mean, at this point in the story, we're following the Justice League International team of Captain Atom and Booster Gold, Fire and Ice, and then plus the new Blue Beetle and a new Rocket Red, and they're the only ones that remember Maxwell Lord, the former Justice League head, the guy, the former Justice League International backer, turned murderer, killed Ted Kord back in Infinite Crisis days, was resurrected in Blackest Night, and
who Wonder Woman snapped the neck of.
Yes, Wonder Woman killed him in Infinite Crisis, and
that was a poorly constructed sentence.
Yes, he used his mental powers to make everyone in the world forget who he was, except for the Justice League International, who were in like a little bubble in his building when it happened, so they were not affected by the powers. So the whole story of this book is trying to A, capture Maxwell Lord, and B, make everyone remember that this bad guy's running around.
Also, there's been some, you know, there's some. With the White Lantern stuff and some teasing of the future to come, and Captain Atom went into the future in the last issue and saw all the stuff that Maxwell Lord caused, so they're trying to stop that. So yeah.
Right, and the catalyst to the bad future that he saw last issue was that Maxwell Lord is eventually going to track down and kill Wonder Woman, and that's eventually supposedly the act that causes the bad future. So in this issue, Maxwell Lord's trying to track her down. Only to find out that no one's ever heard of Wonder Woman.
Which is, I don't read every DC book, but is this the only book to address the fact that Wonder Woman's off the grid?
It's the only book that I'm reading. That's why I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Because it's when it's addressed the fact that Wonder Woman's gone.
That's great.
She's in her own dimension. So yeah. Max has got this plan. He's going to get her. And he's like trying to find her in the database. And there's no trace of her on the internet. And no one knows who she is. And he's like, fuck, this is ironic.
I wish that was the line.
Well, he does say, not the fuck, but he does say this is ironic.
It would have been better how Connor wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, and then the same thing happened with the Justice League is that Booster and Beetle remember who Wonder Woman was, and Fire and Ice do, but no one else does. So now we've got this dual thing going where there's one guy who's sort of hidden from everyone, trying to find this woman who's hidden from everyone. Meanwhile, Captain Atom's been framed for murder. Magog was killed finally by Maxwell Lord, but he made everyone think that Captain Atom did it. And Ice has got a new origin. So there's all these kind of interpersonal things happening, which I really enjoy. Plus, there's fun action.
I had to think of the user review of the last issue when the Fire and Ice scene was like, oh my God, I don't care about these two. I was like, if they just stuck to the Captain Atom thing, the Max Lord thing, it would be perfect. But but it's fine. It's all right.
This issue was kind of the decompression issue between big fights where they're all back at the headquarters and they're all lamenting their status. And I like Captain Atom, who I actually really like now, who I didn't used to like. I think through this series, Judd Winnick's making him likable for me.
Yeah.
Lamenting the fact that the world thinks he's a murderer. He doesn't know how he's going to get out of it, and he doesn't know what to do, and he wants to kill Maxwell Lord.
Some great scenes with him and Booster.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just saying, no, we can't do that. We're heroes, and it was just a really good sort of, you know, decompression issue. And then right at the end, the Creature Commandos attack, and their fire gets shot in the gut, and that's the cliffhanger. But
I was really kind of annoyed to see. I was starting to really like Lopresti's art, and then I started on like, oh, Joe Bennett, and it really wasn't like I didn't like it to begin with. But by the end of the issue, I was like, oh, actually, the art was pretty solid. So
it's solid. I mean, it's not going to blow you away, but this is a bi-weekly book, so they have a rotating team.
Lopresti's been on it pretty straight through.
There's been fill-ins.
But Lopresti's been doing a lot. You know, like I understand this is a fill-in, but it's been mainly Lopresti.
Maybe chewed up his lead time.
Yeah.
You know.
But no, this was good. I mean, I don't know if it was a pick of the week, but it was good.
I really and we talked about it earlier. It is the best Justice League book. I mean,
yes.
I did read the other Justice League of America, the book that should be the flagship DC title.
Yeah.
I read it for a long time. I finally dropped it. This is so much better. I've dropped it a few times. I've come back to it.
It's been really difficult. It's been hard to read. Lots of narration, lots of narration boxes. I don't know who's talking.
Still Robinson and Bagley?
Yeah, yeah.
Bagley's the wrong choice.
Yeah, yeah.
He is.
He's a good artist. He's just not the right guy for that book.
Yeah, and Robinson might be the wrong choice too. Like, or at least the direction he's trying to take it. It's just rough. It's hard. I mean, it's a hard book to read. I'm still buying it, but it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is the book, I think.
It's perfect.
It's the flagship Justice League book. It may not be the Justice League you think of when you think of the Justice League. It's not Superman or Batman, or not even the other book isn't even that. But
it's a Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like two of them as opposed to 14 Avengers teams, so.
Right, yeah.
True.
But yeah, this is a lot of fun. I totally agree with you. This is the best Justice League book right now, and I love it. I don't want it to end. I don't want it to be a limited series. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's we've got a while to go, so it's still fun, but yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time. Now,
we should probably talk about the actual pick of the week.
New Avengers 7. I have to look at the number because it's been a while. It was really good.
Well, yeah, is this the same kind of decompression? You know, we finished the whole Doctor Strange, you know, Iva Agamotto fight, and this was the day after, basically.
This was the other side of the coin that I flipped.
Yeah.
I had these two books in my hand for about 20 minutes trying to decide.
This was really good. Josh, have you started buying it again yet?
No. I was supposed to buy the other Avengers book.
This is a really good issue. This is a really good, great Eminem art. Great, really top-notch Bendis dialogue, like team dialogue. Some laugh-out-loud moments.
You know what got me? Well, this is the aftermath. So
yeah,
the Avengers Mansion's been destroyed
again.
The damage control shows up,
which is awesome.
Which I love, but they give Luke the estimate. And it's $250,000. To fix that mansion, really?
Yeah. the silent panel on that. And what's great is that the theme of this whole issue is Luke being high and mighty. So what happens is that Damage Control shows up and they say, okay, well, Steve Rogers is going to pay for it. You know, said to bill him, and he's like, no, we're not with them. We're doing it on our own. We'll do it ourselves. And Danny Rand's like, I'll have the Rand Corporation pay for it. He's like, no. And then she tells him it's going to be $250,000. And this is great silent panel. Just like,
That seems low.
Well, you
That's
didn't
what I'm they, saying. Yeah. The whole place is trashed.
Yeah.
Are
they
using non-union contracts? They're going to have one of those inflatable rats outside.
Well, the structure still exists. There's just a lot of damage, but yeah.
Well,
but
anyway. I imagine there's a rather complicated electronic setup as well.
Look at the left-hand side of the
door. Yeah, that big hole, But anyway, but that was a great moment. And so then there's a whole scene. Doctor Strange basically goes and sleeps it off, which I thought was funny, and wakes up, and everybody's in the dining room, and they're eating, and they're all talking, and basically they talk Doctor Strange into joining the team, which was nice. Then Spider-Man flips out because because Victoria Hand is there, and he doesn't want to work with her because she worked for Osborn. I thought that was more great Spider-Man dialogue, which actually was great, which I love the moment when he like Spider-Man's gonna walk out and the team talks him out of it, and then he's like I stood up ready to leave, and now full of indignation, and now I'm not going to, and to sit back down is a little embarrassing, and then he sits down like and slumps like embarrassed. I thought Eminem not doing action but doing character action was
his acting was fantastic.
The subtleties, were really, really good.
Facial expressions.
So then, then Victoria Hand starts handing out their paychecks from the government and Avengers and Rogers, and Luke flips out. And then Jessica flips out on Luke saying they need the money. And it's just those kind of domestic squabbles. And then it all culminates in them finding a nanny for the baby, which probably had the best laugh out loud moment when Jessica's arguing, saying they need a nanny, they need somebody to take care of it who can handle superheroes and all that stuff. And they're like, well, who's it going to be? And then another silent panel, and Wolverine just goes, okay, I'll do it. Just like, it was just great. It was so much fun. So Wong joins the team, and he's the new Jarvis. He doesn't seem happy about it either.
No, he's kind of annoyed. Yeah. Now, this was some great. And if somebody on the website said if this book could be the book where they just hang out between missions, and the other books are the missions, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, totally.
Because this book, this issue reminded me a lot of the old JLI books. Actually.
Yeah.
It's even the two page spread of all the heads talking was very much like the old JLI membership drive issues, where they'd have the two page spreads of people reacting to being offered to join the team. It felt a lot like that. And the whole just hanging out in the brownstone.
Yeah. And I just love the little subtle jokes. Like this is the second time I've read this. I think it was in the Fantastic Four. But like Thing noted that his paycheck is more than his Fantastic Four salary. Yeah. So he's just like, wait a minute, And like Spider-Man's upset because he doesn't get a check because he won't reveal his identity. And like just like little touches on each of the little individual characters. And I really thought the art was really, really strong. Because Eminem's done this kind of issue before and it wasn't as strong. Because he's mainly a lot of action, but this looks really well done. Like every page,
his art has evolved in the last 6 months.
Yeah,
he's as good a guy as anybody in the industry right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
If not, like top, he's easily top five. But there's nobody better than him right now.
Oh, and
if
I didn't.
Look at this issue, Josh, you'll be blown away.
And I didn't know Squirrel Girl and Wolverine slept together.
Who hasn't?
That scene was hysterical. That was like, she's like, I thought we agreed we'd never see each other again.
Let me ask you a question. Who the fuck is Squirrel Girl?
She was on Great Lakes Avengers.
Everybody says this all the time. Like, I'm supposed to know what it is. I don't know what it is.
It's a cult thing.
It's a cult thing. Yeah, it's cult Avenger stuff.
Oh, it's like the fucking ambush bug.
But yes, kind of somewhat. Yeah. But it was really good. Josh, you're missing out again.
Yeah, you said.
I'm not alone.
I agree. You would enjoy this.
That was my this was my pick of the week. This that issue.
So Thor the Mighty Avenger number 7 or the issue where they finally fuck.
This is a dirty show, isn't it?
Yes.
I gotta give Josh. I emailed Josh a tip of the hat. His line in the panels of the week about that scene made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So they finally did it.
I don't remember what else happened. There was a robot.
The Muppets showed up.
Yeah, the Muppets showed up. But that's sort of. It's funny because there's sort of. There's two different things that you'd hear about in the scuttlebutt online. Some people would be like, "Oh my god, there's Muppets in this," and then other people were like, "So they did it."
You could tell the type of people.
Yeah, it just said everything. Like I saw the stack of sheets, and I was like, "Oh, it's the morning."
Yep.
And then there's like that scene where he's clipping his belt, and he's like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah.
And then he has to go. I really did. I really enjoyed my favorite sequence is actually when she tries to give him a phone, and he's like, These things confuse me. And his face looks like he's trying to make him eat something he doesn't want. And he's just like, please, no. No phone. But, of course, that will come back. And he's fighting.
Maybe
it looks
we'll
like,
have one more issue for it to come back.
Well, it looks like Tony Stark has got something to do with it. Because isn't, like, the next issue
Iron Man? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, are these somehow related to Iron Man? Which means that Tony Stark would be the person making fun of Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker.
Right, yeah.
Calling them nerds.
Yeah, I wonder, it was probably Landridge's idea, wasn't it? Because he writes them Muppets,
but. I'm sure. or you know, Somni just did it for fun there.
Yeah.
Because they're good kids.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that these robots beat Thor. I think that, actually, if I had a problem with it, that would be that.
Yeah, well, I get the feeling that this is not as an experienced Thor.
He's also, no. He seems powered down a bit more.
Yeah.
He was also, he was spent.
Yeah, true. from the fucking.
Right now, somewhere there's a parent or somebody just like rushing to turn this down, like they didn't expect this. I feel bad.
Yeah,
this but issue was a much needed rebound from the last one. I thought.
Yes.
Was,
yeah.
This one hit on all levels.
Yeah, it really did, and the fucking was done subtly too.
Oh, it was an all ages book.
Yeah,
it wasn't shown; it was implied.
Right. Yeah.
You had to know what it meant that all the sheets were folded on the couch.
Right, right, yeah.
He clipped his belt with purpose.
Yeah.
27 number 1 came out from Image. This was their sort of next book that sells out that before anybody knew what it was. I talked to Charles Soule, the writer, on a Don't Miss a while ago when it was originally supposed to ship, and then we found out it didn't right after it went up. Mm. It was a good start.
It was all right.
You know, like I think it's a great concept.
Well, that's the thing is that I love the concept and I love the first page.
Yeah.
And then it took a turn, and I was like, oh, didn't want it to take that turn.
You know, because it's got a Hellblazer kind of vibe to it, is how it was described.
I wouldn't thought of Hellblazer. Just that it went. So basically, Josh, explain the premise and why the concept is great.
Well, it's called 27 because any sort of rock. Aficionado will know that many of our greatest rock artists died at the age of 27. Coincidentally, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. It seems to be the age at which they are taken. Not Keith Moon; he was in his early 30s. In case that comes up, and in this, what is the story of a guy whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, and he's at the top of his game, and he's about to turn 27, and he loses the ability to play guitar.
He has a hand injury. Yeah.
He tries everything he can do, every kind of surgery, drugs, doctors, everything, and he can't. And he goes into he finds an ad in a paper and goes into a room with a mysterious guy who knows all about him, and he's there to fix him with a giant, scary device.
Big machine and a cat and cats.
His lab coat, and he's naked.
Yeah.
And then there's some.
And Thor shows up.
Hallucination. No. And then it works, and he's got a thing stuck in his chest.
He's got what looks like an amp head in his chest with dials that he doesn't know what they do, and he clicks them, and then all of a sudden he can play guitar again. And he gets all excited, and so he calls this guy. He's like, book the reunion tour, and then the hand doesn't work again.
I mean, for me, like as a guy who plays guitar, as a guy, you know, like there was a lot of little things in here that I actually related to and I really liked. As far, you know, like being a musician, being in a band, things like that.
The part where the doctor gets naked, do you relate to that?
Yeah, the sacrificed cats.
Is that not how your doctor works?
I mean, my whole thing is that I start
by taking off our pants.
I thought the concept was strong enough to tell a somewhat realistic story, and I didn't want to see it go in the direction it did with the weirdness. You know,
often my lament in stuff.
Yeah,
it happens in comics a lot because they think they can't sell stuff without that.
Right.
In fact, I know you can't sell stuff without that.
But I also know that I didn't feel like the concept got put across.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what the concept is beforehand, I knew it. But if I had just read the book, I don't think you got anything about the 27 Club.
The concept was sold really hard, and it was barely touched upon. Yeah, exactly.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. To me, it feels like this could have, you know, this will probably read better as like the first two issues together or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it was very much like a bit of a cold open, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. It didn't look or feel like anything else, and I'm always looking for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different, and I like anything that's music based, and I'll give it a shot. I'll stick with it. I wish it would stay. It stayed realistic. I just thought that would, you know, the idea of fighting the clock, you know, and like
it's going to be an uphill battle to sell books like this anyway. But like the other side of it, if it's just a straight up real life music book. I mean, you sell
No, I know, but there could have even been some sort of drama aspect to it, and maybe even some sort of, you know, kind of mystical kind of thing that, you know, or whatever. But it just got weird, you know. So I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I actually enjoyed it. I know what you're saying. I didn't expect that either, but it hasn't bugged me yet.
Okay.
So there
you go.
It's that. What's next on the agenda?
We haven't talked about Fables in a while
because it hasn't come out in a while.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Fables 100 was a trade paperback.
Yes, it was.
I mean, not even kidding. I mean, this thing is I was like, oh, well, I guess I better get started on this then.
It's over 100 pages.
It's true. And unlike what I was really expecting was that at some point, you know, like it would end maybe 30 pages, 32 pages, and then the rest of it would just be garbage I didn't really want. But the actual main story of this book went 68 pages. It was $10 for the issue, but it's 68 pages written by Willingham, drawn by Buckingham. So, you know, like it's the full team, and it looked like they were going to wrap up the epoch that they were in again, and then it didn't. They laid out a couple of other. It was actually just fun. It was a huge fight scene for like most of it, and so it was really just like balls out, lots of action, lots of fighting, really fun stuff, and then a big development happened at the end with a couple of the main characters. And then after that, there were like, we'll say like about 30 pages or so of extras. But they were all those kind of like little short stories and things like that done by different artists and stuff like that. There's a Dave Johnson, a couple of pages in here. There's a couple of J.H. Williams, a third pages, you know, no slouches, I guess, in that way. There's the big thing in this one is that there's a prose story written by Buckingham. And illustrated by Willingham. I didn't read it. Because a giant chunk of prose in the middle of having to get through a big bunch of comics.
Yeah, it's a lot to take. Yeah.
It's not what you want. And I didn't have the pick, so I didn't feel like it was my prerogative to have to do. Thank God. But no, you know, really good issue. I don't know. You know, $10 for an issue, but if it only comes wrong every 100 issues, that's not so bad.
Right.
It was good though. It was a lot of fun. It was a really like they went all out and they didn't hold back, and that was actually really cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cool. Excellent. So Widowmaker number 1, or could have also been known as Hawkeye Mockingbird number 7 or 8 or the event book with Hawkeye Mockingbird and Black Widow came out, and yeah, this was originally solicited to take place in Hawkeye Mockingbird, then got pulled into a miniseries, and you could tell. I mean, I'm not saying that was bad, but it was just like it felt like the next issue of that series.
Well, yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah,
like I don't get why you would do that because you've got like all of a sudden now there's an unknown thing at the top
because number one,
it's number one, and it's an event, and it's also the moving towards the miniseriesification of the lower tiered characters.
Do you guys remember when Jay Lee was one of my favorite artists?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, look at that cover.
Yeah.
Anyway, really, I didn't like it.
Oh.
There's something weird about it. I don't know.
I found this to be slightly more accessible. I think the biggest problem with Hawkeye Mockingbird was it was really inaccessible if you didn't really know the characters.
Right, yep.
I agree.
This was a bit more accessible. It was just more of a straight-up action. I find myself wishing the supporting cast would go away.
Yeah.
It would just be Hawkeye and Mockingbird. yeah. running around doing stuff.
And the supporting cast is barely in this issue. I mean, it's mainly Hawkeye Mockingbird.
Like, Crossfire, whatever his name is.
Dominic Fortune. Yeah,
I kind of like him.
I do like him though. Yeah, that's the the swarthy guy.
The best part of this was when the Russian guys showed up.
Yeah.
Because they're ridiculous.
Yeah, they always are.
There's the horn guy. I always feel like Sputnik. Every time I see Crimson Dynamo, I'm seeing him for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, the Crimson Dynamo here is not the same guy who was in Iron Man. Is not, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And they're just ridiculous.
And I was just wondering why David Lopez drew Black Widow like she hadn't slept in a week.
I was literally just going to say that. I'm like, David Lopez does not like the Black Widow. It's like, he makes Mockingbird look great. Black Widow just looks tired and angry. Maybe she is. Who knows? But so this introduces the third Ronin now, and which apparently the original Ronin identity was a villain. And then, the whole Ronin thing, I just like, they just need to stop. But and so Hawkeye gets mistaken for this villainous Ronin by the Russians, and that's where the cliffhanger kind of ends on it. It was good. I thought, like you said, it was good. It was good action. It was good, kind of spy espionage kind of stuff. I just don't, I just felt like the next issue of Hawkeye Mockingbird. So
there was a big room full of slaughtered whores.
There was, Russian whores. Yeah,
you got to give them that.
Kind of horse.
Yeah. In the middle of. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, cool. So, so if you want to make sure you don't miss out on these wonderful miniseries that Marvel's rolling out or any other comic books that come out every month and you don't have a good comic book store in your neighborhood or you're not satisfied with the one that you've got, you might want to check out Discount Comic Book Service. It's a great way to order your comic books online and get them shipped directly to your house. They've got monthly specials of up to 75% off. They typically got 40% off all the major publishers. You get flat rate shipping of $5.95 on all U.S. orders, and you can get anything that's solicited in previews by Diamond. It's just like going to the comic book store, except the comic store comes to you with the things you've selected. They've also got over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock. You can go to dcbservice.com and you can make your order and track your orders online. They send you, if you select how many different packages you want sent to you each month, you can have one monthly package, bi-weekly, weekly, whatever you want, they'll send it to you. And you can do it all at dcbservice.com, and we thank them for sponsoring this episode.
Now, you may remember last year and we were all like, man, G.I. Joe Cobra is awesome. And we said that a lot. You probably heard that.
Yeah.
You know what's really good now?
No.
G.I. Joe Origins. G.I. Joe Origins number 22 just came out. This is the second part of a story written by David Laugham. Man, this could just as well be G.I. Joe Cobra.
The lines have blurred between the two books.
Yeah, and I don't really care because the thing is that there's not – I guess there is one overall continuity, but – it's just there's some short stories.
Oh, I know what it is.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm not confused. No. And like this, everyone starts off. There's another guy, and you're like, well, who's this guy? You don't know if he's going to be G.I. Joe or Cobra or what or where they're going to end up at the end of it. And it's just the story of this random Viper and how he sort of comes into the organization. Which honestly has been the question I've had as long as I've ever watched G.I. Joe. Where are they getting all these guys? and it's about his like indoctrination and how they get him there and. Just it's really well done. It was an excellent issue. The last one was excellent. If you like G.I. Joe Cobra and you want some more of that, because they went off for a little bit and did that weird Serpentor thing, which wasn't bad, but it was different.
This has been good. Check out the David Laugham issues. They've been really dark.
Uh-huh.
Just dark.
You agree?
Yeah. Excellent stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Cool. So the next What If this month was Wolverine Father. And while I didn't really care for the story, basically the What If premise is what if Wolverine raised Dokken?
Who cares?
Exactly. Oh. but
it must sell. Somebody thinks somebody likes him.
They got Greg Cicchini to do the art, who did Last Days of American Crime with Remender. And, I mean, the art was beautiful. The art was fantastic.
Was there sexy ladies?
Here and there. But really, really good. Really, really good art. The story, the guy did what he could. I don't even know who wrote it. Rob Williams. That's not real. That's not a real name. But
it's Account Smithy.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think he's the lead singer of Matchbox 20.
but the art looked great. Tacchini did it fantastic. I want to see more sequential work from Tacchini. And then Remender's backup takes Deadpool Venom guy into the 90s, and there's a lot of 90s trope jokes, and it was very funny. To be expected. So What If 2 weeks in a row. Did the job. Well, not fully 100%. The art was enough to get me there. So,
Josh, if I'm going to make a bold statement, Josh, I'm going to see if you can back me up on this. Mystery Society from IDW is the biggest surprise of the year.
I could. I think I need to do a little more research, but I'm not shooting that down. Yeah. I'm getting behind you. I got to the end of issue number 5, and I just thought, well, that was just wonderful.
That yes, I mean, the thing is, I hadn't heard of this book at all. Mm-hmm. There was no buzz on it. I didn't even pick it up until Paul talked about it on the website. I picked it up a week later, and it's been fantastically fun, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, there's not even any ifs or buts about it. Like, the art's great. It's Fiona Staples, I think.
Yep.
And it's odd and strange, and it feels it's got I don't know it's kind of a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen tone to it. If that makes sense.
A little bit of Hellboy and.
It's my favorite thing that I've ever read from Steve Niles.
Absolutely.
Easily. Yeah. And really, I really enjoy the artwork. I think it's perfect for it.
It's a gorgeous book, yeah.
It's such a weird story. And I kind of didn't remember what had happened last time. But it didn't matter because I was right back. And I was like, oh, right, there's this skull girl. And then there's Jules Verne, the robot brain.
It's a bunch of crazy adventurers.
Yeah, and it just sort of. It kind of goes from scene to scene, and it moves along in this fun way, and it's just done really well. It was a hell of a lot of fun. It's gonna be a great little trade.
It's supposed to trade to come out soon.
Yeah,
people should check it out. I'll look for it anyway. Flip through the trades if you like the art.
So the next book in the Stan Lee Boom Studios book, Starborn, came out this week, and I'll be honest with you guys, I was not gonna pick this up. Because up to, you know, while the ones that have come out, that, you know, I feel as if each one we say, oh, this is the best one yet, this is the best one yet, yeah. But they haven't been like, oh, this is fantastic, and definitely, and I'm not sticking with Soldier Zero, I'm not sticking with, I might stick with the Traveler. This is not only the best of the one yet, I'm going to stick with it.
This was great.
This was fantastic. Yeah. Not only on a story standpoint, but on an art standpoint, like the art, like who did the art? Carrie Randolph, like very kind of animation-y kind of art, but changed styles and changed like the coloring was a real aspect to it, and just changed like the different depending on the different scenes. Like it was just great. It was fantastic.
This was really the one that I was the least interested in for several reasons.
Me too. Yeah,
because I don't even like the title.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. Like, I remember hearing the other stuff. Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. This was fun. I mean, it was like for writers or people who are into this stuff, you know.
I was laughing. I was laughing thinking of you reading it because I'm sure.
Yeah. Because it's just about a guy who's like trying to tell a story and sell a book, and he's working on it at work. And then basically the conceit is that he finds out that everything he's been writing about is real, and he doesn't know why. I love the idea that he goes, well, this is just indicative of this other guy's work. And he's like, what? Yeah. And he reads, and another guy wrote exactly the same thing, but he'd never read it. Totally fun.
Totally. Yeah, totally fun. Really, very kind of Matrixy in terms of average Joe gets pulled into a fantastic world. But I thought that a good angle in the story, good way of telling it, combined with the inventive art, like that's what these Stan Lee books have been missing up to this point. So
Chris Robertson, writer of he did the Cinderella stories, and he does iZombie for Vertigo. But I dug this. This was good.
Connor, did you get Echo number 26? Or are you reading this in trades?
No, I'm reading in trade.
Okay,
because right, we can't read it in issue in New York.
Because it doesn't come in.
I just lost track of it at some point.
All right, I don't want to spoil it for you then.
Then don't.
But there was the – first off, Terry Moore has been building this really well. I just like the momentum and the pace it's been going at. And like he's – this core group of characters between the girl with the thing on her chest and the guy, Dylan, and the agent, you know, like Ivy. Like they're coming together as like a unit of characters that I'm starting to care about. But right. The last panel – made me scream and put the book down. And
because David and Kachu showed up,
not them.
No. Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Don't say don't.
But that's the thing is that it's done in a way that it might not be them, but it might be that it might tie in. And if it does, I don't know how I feel about that. Because I'll be honest with you, part of me likes the fact that it was okay. It's not, you know, not related. This is a new thing. But then a part of me is like, oh my god, they're back! Like it's like, but it's also not. It's not who you said, but it's also not who you think. But it, yeah, so I'm like, I said I won't. I'm not gonna say anymore. But wow. But yeah, it was like scream, like no. So.
Is this the – it's nearing the end soon, right?
Yeah, it is. 30, and 31. I don't – and the thing is, honestly, I'm going to go on record right now, and I could be wrong. It's 50-50. I don't think it's tied to Strangers in Paradise.
I don't imagine it is either.
Yeah, but by the looks of this panel, I can't wait till the next issue now. Fucking Terry Moore, 6 weeks. It's been years since you've done this to me, you son of a bitch. So – Yeah, so when you get the next trade, guys, you be on the lookout for that. So, right. And I don't know if it's going to work as well in trade or as it did in the issue. Like, the trade's got to end with this issue.
Right.
So.
Good. So iFanboy.com is not just about what we think. It's about what you think. So we like to always take a time and just highlight a couple of user reviews, what you guys thought of stuff. So we get those from the site. You go to iFanboy.com. You can write your user reviews. First one up, Duraflame Tree. Ron could have totally butchered that, by the way. It would have been great. With the Flash number 7, give the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. Pick of the week percentage, 13.1%. Traditionally a Marvel fan, I was really first exposed to the world of the Flash through Tom Cater's hilarious Tom versus the Flash podcast. The image I had of Captain Boomerang was a ridiculously dressed Australian man who had very limited skill set when it came to challenging a super fast police scientist. Although still ridiculously dressed, this issue made me feel for Captain Boomerang and in a reasonable way explained why the other rogues would want him in their group. Although the art is not by regular artist Francis Manapul, Scott Collins is no slouch. Professor Zoom's speed is portrayed well, and I love the paths that Digger's thrown objects make. Can't wait till issue 8.
I'll be honest with you. I read this about halfway through before I realized that it was Collins and not Manapul. Not that I mistook them two, but like I didn't. Right. The art didn't miss a beat.
No, I thought that too, but I will say there was a moment when I realized that it wasn't him.
Yes, me too, which is really kind of weird.
And it was ugly.
Which moment was it?
It's like the flashback, and it's Boomerang running into Flash for the first time, and he's throwing the Boomerang.
Yeah, I think that might have been the
same. And he broke his spine.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's awful.
This is Collins' new style, which I'm not in love with. It's the more painterly style than his old kinetic, lots of lines everywhere style, which was perfect for the Flash.
And he did it
as recently as Final Crisis: Rogue's Revenge.
Yep.
But ever since then, he's been doing this different style, and I'm not as big of a. I didn't really love the art as much because
I didn't hate it as much as I hated the previous stories I've seen in the style. It was the kind of thing where like I just picked up and read it, and I didn't even think about that it was a Manipal until I got about halfway through. Yeah. But I love the story though. I love the focus on the rogues and all that sort of stuff. So
these are the they're doing rogue spotlights in between the arcs of the Flash.
Well, that's awesome.
So this is the one shot rogue spotlight.
So it really is a perfect book.
I just don't connect to this the way that you guys do. I don't know what it is.
Love it.
All right. Fair enough.
Anyway. All right. Our next review comes from the Punisher Max, who reviewed Superboy number 2, gave the story a 3 out of 5 and the art a 2 out of 5. And 2.2% of you made it your pick of the week. And Punisher Max has to say, I was a little disappointed by this issue. I really liked the first, but this one just didn't feel the same. I couldn't find myself interested in the story at all, and bits of it simply just felt a bit contrived, especially everything involving Simon. To me, the issue kind of seemed kind of Silver Age inspired, which I'm not a big fan of. And also, just not a lot happened. When it comes to the art, I wasn't too impressed either. I heard a lot of people raving about Pierre Gallo's art in the first issue, and I just didn't see it then, and I still don't see it now. I may give this series one more issue in hopes that it gets better, but I just don't know.
you read that well.
Dramatically, yeah. I didn't pick this up. I'm sorry, Jeff Lemire. I like you, but I don't like super things. So
I was just kind of bored by the first issue. Didn't make me want to come back.
Yeah.
I liked it more, story-wise, but I don't really like Pierre Gallo at the moment. Like, not something about it's off.
At the moment.
Is it the glasses?
No.
Has he still got the glasses?
No, because this issue is mostly – this issue is action-packed. I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing happened in it. It's basically a huge fight scene for half the issue. But no, he's Superboy the whole time, so you don't really see the glasses. But something about it is a bit weird. I can put my finger on it. But story-wise, it was a lot more fun than the first issue was. It was setting up a lot of interesting mysteries, and he's got his own little Lex Luthor going. But it's okay. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's okay. I'm taking this on an issue-by-issue basis.
Fair enough. It's hard to leave. That was a lackluster. I wish we could have said we love something when we move into this next bit. But how about helping out iFanboy? You like it. It's a big part of your life if you're reading comic books and on Sunday night or Monday you're listening to the show. You go to the site a bunch of times. This is a listener, viewer, member-supported endeavor. So here's a few ways that you can kick in. You can click on the banners on the site. Those are advertisers. They're there, you know, because they're trying to make money. So click on them, support them. Go to ifanboy.com/Amazon. And this is really important right now. If you're the kind of person who does all your Christmas shopping, holiday shopping, Hanukkah shopping, I'm so PC, on amazon.com. If you go through, our link, the Amazon store that we have, which is you go to ifanboy.com/Amazon and click on the little Powered by Amazon button. You'll just be in the normal Amazon store, and you won't even notice a difference. This is just for U.S. people. Anything you buy will give us a little bit of a kickback, and we really appreciate that. You can buy shirts. There's the Fear Agent shirt. We still got some of those. We have like We have a minuscule amount of the blue intern shirt, the original shirt. People will be like, oh, man, I remember that. That's the OG shit. You can get some of those. You can be a member. That's the best way to do it. You're just contributing directly to the site. You can pay at $4 a month or $10 a month or for just $42 a year or $100 a year. If you do that, you'll get a prize pack. You will get some stickers. You'll get a random comic book. That's the fun bit. And if the higher membership, you'll get a T-shirt as well. You guys are the ones who make everything happen. And also, if you're a member, you get to be eligible for prizes at the end of the year, beginning next year. We're going to have another load of them to give out. We emptied the coffers, and now the stores are filling up again.
Like Thor?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. All right. Jane, I need a moment, please.
Thor needs a sandwich. Why is Thor talking like Hulk?
Thor, I'm sleepy. That's what happens to the Norse gods. Start talking like
Thor needs a sandwich in 30 minutes.
Refractory period. I don't know why we didn't do Thor speak because it's fun, but it's fun to do Hulk speak as Thor
in the bedroom. Thor speak as Hulk speak in the bedroom. There's a new character for you. Everyone have fun with that.
Get helmet on way to bathroom.
All right, this could go really dirty really quickly. Connor, why don't you tell us about the book of the month?
It's book of the month time. I know we just did book of the month a couple weeks ago, but we figured get that December book of the month out of the way.
So we can enjoy the holidays for once.
Yes. Book of the month for December is Absolute Superman, All-Star Superman, which is the big collected edition of Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's All-Star Superman 12-issue miniseries. And this has already been book of the month once before. It was for the hardcover number 2. Josh picked it a couple years ago.
I think you supplanted my former pick of the book of the month.
Yeah.
I think you've completely, mine doesn't count now.
Sorry. First of all, it's a fantastic series, but reading it in issues, the structure of the story is Superman, in the beginning, he saves the first ever manned mission to the sun, which Lex Luthor sabotaged, and Superman goes and saves it. In doing so, overloads his body with solar energy, and he's basically given himself a form of cancer, and so he's dying. And so this miniseries is about the 12 last acts of Superman, the last things he does before he dies, setting the world right again. And so story-wise, each issue stands on its own, except for one two-part in the middle. So when this came out in issues, it came out really sparsely, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And so you could enjoy each issue on its own, and it was a great story. But reading it all together in one sitting, you really get a great sense of the structure that Morrison puts into the book and how everything ties in together. And it's a really wonderfully constructed book. It's one of Morrison's better works in terms of making everything tie together. He did it really well in Flex Mentallo. He does it different now. He's always going for a very intricate, well put together story. But this is one of the better ones. This is almost as like Superman Red Sun, you know, how that sort of everything ties together in the end and it all makes sense from the beginning to the end. This is very much like that. The stuff that happens in the beginning matters in the end, and it all ties together, and the stuff you read in the beginning makes more sense when you finished it, or things in the end make sense after you look at the first part again. So it's all very intricate and complex and just wonderful. It's almost the definitive Superman, modern Superman tale.
Oh, yeah.
And the Frank Quitely art is just gorgeous, especially in this oversized format, which is one of the big reasons why this was Book of the Month. He's a lot of big panels, big wide open spaces, very pop arty in the color. It's very bright. There's a lot of bright blue and red and yellow. You're never confused about what you're reading here. This is a pure Superman superhero story. And just wonderful. Josh, do you remember the book, or have you put it out of your memory?
Who? No, luckily I wrote that review last time, so I remember some of it. Well, what's funny about this is that I started to read it in issues, and I only read one, maybe two, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't like it. And then so it wasn't until later when I bought the first hardcover again after hearing people talk about how great it was, I thought, well, maybe I missed something, or I got impatient or something like that. And it was when I read it the second time, sort of all at once, I really enjoyed it a lot more. So it's interesting that you could describe it as each story standing on its own, but I really think that as a whole, it works. And also, at that point, I probably didn't appreciate Frank Quitely as much as I came to later. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's an odd style. You can't You can't deny that.
I don't deny that at all. No.
And when you're going to talk about Superman, a character who's kind of defined, you know, as like a Kurt Swan and John Byrne and sort of like that really classic, clean superhero style, you know, Frank Quitely is almost the opposite of that. So it's interesting that the you know, definitive modern superhero stories is by an artist who's sort of antithetical to what you think. But it does work. And I think that the coloring actually has a lot to do with it. At first, you look at that coloring and you think, that's just – they're just garish backgrounds. But – it isn't that. It actually all works really well. It works sort of all together and simultaneously to create this just odd little story that really respects Superman and understands it. And it's funny because, you know, the whatever this all-star line was supposed to be, it ain't.
No.
In any way. I mean, that Adam Hughes all-star Wonder Woman's coming out any time now. But
it was supposed to be a line for big-name DC creators to play with the characters without any continuity burdens. Mm-hmm. And the only one that really did it successfully was this one, because Batman never finished.
Right.
And it was controversial, we'll say, in its content. This is the only one really where he told a complete Superman story, the story he wanted to tell without having to worry about anybody else or any other – he killed Superman. He killed him. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't do that any other way other than out of continuity. So
yeah,
it was.
Wait a minute. So it ends with him dying.
Yes, he's dead.
Wow. Oh wow. Fuck. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told that.
He is and he isn't. That's the part of the story.
I would have more. I would have way more respect if he went through with it. I thought there was going to be some. You know, that was the premise. And like, then,
well, he goes off at the end. He goes off at the end and dies. But if you pay attention. This is where it gets wonky. In the middle, he shows up from the future, but you don't know it's him until it's done. So he did go off and die, never to be seen again in that sense, if you want to call that death, but he does return.
So.
In the middle of the story, which you don't realize it's him.
It's comic books. Yeah.
No, but it's Superman. You can't kill him at the end. Like, it has to live on. That's the point.
Yeah.
Especially in DC, there's the legacy. Well, they're going to get there one way or another. Right. It's really interesting to me that there's always been this talk about comic books that matter selling better than ones that don't, and matter is a subjective term, but this one doesn't matter in that sense to continuity or whatever, but it was still very much appreciated, which is sort of a rarity.
Well, I think it's a lot to do with the creative team behind it.
Sure, sure, totally.
In the same way that Batman was, but and also with the Absolute Edition, you get a big, not a robust, but a fairly detailed back section where Morrison goes through everything. He goes through the plot.
Oh, cool.
He goes through the characters. He goes through the 12, I forgot what they're called, the 12 labors of Superman. It's really interesting when he goes through everything.
It's
the script page.
It's a hefty Absolute. It's a good package. When I was at your house, I was looking at it. It was nice. If I can get my hands on that, I'll read it, because I read this I read the first couple issues and I dropped it just because, like every other Superman thing, it doesn't grab me. But I'll give it a read just because it is so important and is that kind of milestone kind of thing.
It really is. I mean, when you talk about the books that deserve, quote unquote, to be done in this Absolute format, it is one of those that does. I don't think that I'm going to buy it. You know, I got my hardcovers over here. I haven't opened them or looked at them since I did the last time. So it's not like I'm itching to get that on a shelf, but I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it makes sense that art is some of the, you know, like if there's everything that needs to be writ large and made big, that's definitely one of the good ones.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book.
So people should go to ifanboy.com and read your book of the month review and read all about what you had to say about it. And go check it out. Go buy it on Amazon. Give it to somebody for Christmas. It's a good idea.
It's a good Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I actually bought it for somebody for Christmas, actually, myself.
Nice. Very good.
Shane, stop talking. Or sleepy.
All right. On to the email.
Thor's in the wet spot. All right.
I was trying not to do that.
Our first email comes from Tyson from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, who says, what are each of your top five books that are not Marvel or DC?
That's easy. Wait, I don't get to use Vertigo?
No. That's a DC book.
Chew, Invincible, Walking Dead. It's not ongoing. I was about to say Mystery Society.
No.
It didn't say ongoing, just top five books.
Oh.
So it could be a mini.
Well, G.I. Joe Cobra, honestly, Hellboy. Over the past few years, and Hellboy.
Connor?
Walking Dead, Invincible, Echo, Chew, and Irredeemable.
Ooh, Irredeemable's good.
Yeah, I mean, I it kind of spans your guys. I mean, it's like, you know, Invincible, Chew, Echo, definitely.
I would probably say Echo too. I just dropped off because I couldn't get it on time.
I mean, nobody agrees with me. I'm all alone, but every issue of Glamour Puss I can't get enough of.
You're right about that.
Making that book for you now.
Yeah, no, not just me. I know there's a small group of us. There's a small, small group. You guys do not know what you're missing. If you could extract all those pages about the art, the Alex Raymond, Stan Drake, the oh my god, it's amazing. From a Comics Historical, when that gets collected, it's going to be amazing. And Six Gun.
Ooh,
Six Gun's
that's good. A good one. Yep. So, cool. All right, our next question.
Kyle says, I was just interested in hearing your feedback on some of the recent Marvel and DC cartoons like Avengers and Spectacular Spider-Man. I think both Marvel and DC have been really upping the ante lately with some quality tunes. They're fun for kids, yet don't talk down to them either. What do you think? Also, were you as heartbroken as I was when the Spectacular Spider-Man was canceled?
No.
No.
Man, I'm the only one here who watches these, so I will say this is a really good time actually for cartoons. It's too bad, Ron, that you don't like cartoons because Avengers and Earth Mightiest Heroes you would love.
I've heard good things about it. I don't like cartoons. I just don't have time.
It is bursting at the seams with Marvel continuity.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Arnim Zola's in it. I mean, it's MODOK.
You just sold it.
Yeah.
All you had to do is be like Arnim Zola, and then like late at night he'll be like, "Well, let me just look."
it's a great cartoon.
Yeah.
The Young Justice one shot movie that came out that's going to
I've heard very good things about that.
Excellent.
I've heard. Go back to Earth Mightiest Heroes. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm somewhat ancillary. I'm on the outside of things. I'm not really looking at it. You know, like I'm not totally. The things we've been posting on the website confuse me. Are those the episodes or what are those?
The micro episodes?
Like, do I need to watch those? Like, I'm very confused by the Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
They did 20 micro episodes that were like 3-4 minutes long. And those are
in continuity?
Yes, they're part of the show's continuity, but you don't need to have watched them to enjoy the show.
Oh, I fell behind on those, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta watch all these, and then oh man,
right? Because 10-year-olds out there were like completely lost when they watched the show without those.
You don't need them at all to enjoy the show, but it's mostly backstory about the characters.
You know
the backstory of Captain America.
I guess okay, all right, maybe I'll go back and watch them. I didn't watch the Firebreather movie, but apparently that was very good as well.
Yes, I heard that was good. I didn't watch it because I didn't really like the animation style. It was weird.
So now, was that supposed to be a series and then it got changed to a movie and then scuttled? Or I thought that was going to be a series, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think that's what
it was. It was a movie that did very well, so maybe it'll go back to being a series.
I think that's more how it works. They do like a movie / pilot.
Yeah.
See how people react to it.
Like the Hellboy movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Spectacular Spider-Man was a great cartoon, and I wasn't sad when it was canceled because cartoons aren't like comics. They don't go on forever. They go for a few years and then they cancel.
That was the Neil Patrick Harris one, right?
No, yeah. That was the Ultimate Style one.
The Greg Brady guy? C.B. Barnes or whatever his name is?
I don't know about that, but it was – Neil Patrick Harris was like – wasn't it MTV many years ago?
Yeah, he was the one that – the first thing that Bendis did.
Yeah, the Ultimate – yeah, the one that –
2000 or so.
Yeah, yeah, the one that didn't go very well, right?
It was Neil Patrick Harris and was it Winnie Cooper?
No, she was doing math.
Yeah, it was somebody else.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was in school. Anyway.
Cartoons are designed to go for a few years and then go away because the audience does actually cycle out like comics used to.
So. I got to say, Superhero Squad, my niece watches that.
I hear kids like that.
I hear it's big with the kids, seriously. I mean, it seems like I've watched it's been on. I'm like, oh, let me see. And it kind of makes me laugh because it's like kind of kid versions of all the characters. And like and what's interesting is that like they're not all – like they're just all Avengers, like everyone. And it's like literally like any characters can be in any episode at any given time. Like it just seems like a lot of fun. So I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I can't do the cartoon thing. I don't know why. Kyle, you're on it like all over it. I love cartoons. I give you the
nod. I can't get into them. We went to go. I mean, I've seen some of the features and I'll hear you guys be like, no, this one's good. And I watched them like it was all right. It was fine.
Well, like the Justice League Unlimited stuff and stuff. Like, I never watch any of that. Never watch any.
They're also just.
I also don't have cable, so that could be a problem too.
Well, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of ways. I mean,
right? You know, no, I know, but it's not. DVR. It's not like it's on. I'm recording it off a DVR.
Yeah, but if it was on, you weren't going to go.
Yeah, I know exactly.
For a while, when I had like a TiVo, like I would have like they would do the Justice League card, you know, and I would tape it, and then I'd have like six of them, and I'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, a lot of times they were just retelling stories that I'd already heard before, and it's not like they're kids stuff, so it's not really going to go somewhere that I hadn't expected. I guess.
Yeah.
The only time that did happen that I was really happy with was Superman the Animated Series. There was a two-part episode with Darkseid And the I can't remember, Connor, you remember the police yep. chief, the guy who looked like Jack Kirby?
Turpin, yeah.
Yeah. They killed him?
Yeah.
In the
No, I think you're mischaracterizing. I mean, the Justice League cartoons went really dark in places that you wouldn't expect at all. Because they could without the limitations of the comics.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Good teams on them, apparently.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, I'm never going to have time to watch all that stuff.
No, I don't expect you guys to do that. That's why I answered the question.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I think if Ron sat down and happened to come across an Avengers cartoon, he would enjoy it.
I probably would. I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
But I also don't see you seeking it out either. But I see exactly. If you stumbled upon it, you would have a good time.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, well, thank you for your emails. If you have any questions, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Normally we do voicemails, and we actually have some stocking up, but we're going to skip that because we did the book of the month, so we'll come back to the voicemails next week, and you can call in onto the voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. And you're also going to want to tune into iFanboy Don't Miss, which is our weekly podcast that comes out every Monday. It's a separate feed, so you got to go to either the website and subscribe, or go to iTunes and subscribe. But it's a 15 minute, quick little conversation with a creator about a book that's coming out this coming week. Last week we talked to Ben McCool about Captain America: The Korvac Saga, and if you haven't heard that, it was a fun interview. And
surprised myself.
Yeah.
Turns out he's not an imbecile.
No, actually Ben's pretty great. But I'm a big sober? Fan of Ben. Yeah, he was sober.
That is his real name.
But so definitely tune in. Don't miss. We might have one this Monday. It's the holidays. It's kind of hard to pin creators down, so sometimes we don't always hit it on Monday. But you definitely want to subscribe so you never miss one. So check out iFanboy Don't Miss, and you get it every Monday on iFanboy.com.
Yes, iFanboy.com.
Where Thor suck.
Thor has early meeting tomorrow. Thor just gonna let himself out.
it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
I like that he talks about himself in the third person.
Well, it's like that's the Hulk speak.
Yeah. Oh, God almighty. Oh.
Thor, notice you changed status on Facebook. This not relationship.
Thor can't be tied down. Unless you're into that.
Or talk to roommate and she's into it.
Listen, Thor's just coming off of a bad breakup. I like that Thor have early meeting tomorrow. No, Thor not thirsty. It's okay. Stay in bed. It can go in another direction. It doesn't have to go that way. It could be Thor-like
Thor,
spoon.
Thor not see this picture of your sister before. She really pretty.
Thor not know how to say this, but Thor sleeps on that side of the bed.
Thor said Thor loves you. Heat of moment.
Oh, God.
iFanboy.com is our website. You can go there and read Jesus, whose pick was this? Connor's pick of the week. That was a long time ago. You can see the panel we're talking about it. The best of the panels. Best of the week in panels. And all the other stuff that went on. There was lots of discussion this week. Couple of news stories came out. Things happened. Apparently they're doing a Venom book. Who'd have thought that?
It's gonna be awesome.
I know. It's the book you never knew you wanted. Now they're going to make you want it. Discussion stuff, all that things. Then there's Word Balloon Podcast. Like you mentioned, the Don't Miss Podcast. There's the video show. We do the video show. Last week was Comics That Make You Cry. And we're going to submit that to the Academy for Connor's performance. So I'm hoping.
Crossing our fingers.
Fingers crossed. And then this next week we're going to talk about our favorite series of the year of 2010, yep. The best series, and wouldn't you know, we all picked something different.
How about that?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Thor not bring his contact solution.
Thor is allergic to cats.
Now he's an asshole. We turned Thor into an asshole.
I know. We turned Thor into a dick one-night stand guy.
You think that mainstream, Marvel Universe Thor isn't like that?
No, he totally is.
He would just leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Thor going.
There's no, all Thor wanted for Christmas was you. That's not Thor happening.
Thor got what Thor came for.
Thor had fun.
Listen, Thor likes you.
Thor's got to, you know, we're good here, right?
Thor thinks it got weird.
Thor knows a waxing guy.
What? Oh. Move on, go.
Thor thinks made a big mistake.
Listen.
Thor, like, just wants to be friends. Thor doesn't want to ruin what we have.
Thor text, okay?
Oh, God.
Thor, get your number from Captain America. Go.
Thor DM you on Twitter.
Oh,
it makes no sense. It's just...
you can email us at contact@fanboy.com, call our voicemail line at 888-FANBOYS-326-2697. Any questions or comments for the show, we'll play them next time.
And if you like what you listen to, go to iTunes, leave a review, or tell your friends, tell your comic book store customers, tell anybody who will listen about the podcast, help spread the word. We depend on you folks to help spread the gospel, and we appreciate everyone who does. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/iFanboy, and that's where you can get all the instant gratification that you need on a daily basis. And maybe, you know, maybe Thor will DM you for another date. You never know.
Listen, Thor had a lot to drink last night. Did we?
Thor need to brush teeth. Oh, God.
Listen, Thor's mother coming by early in morning, so you could go.
All right, until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I am Josh, and I can't beat anything I said already, so we're going to go with that.
Putting up reindeers and songs of joy and peace. Oh, wish I had a river I could skate away. Oh, oh.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.